Thank you all for coming here this morning for this special announcement, and I'm sure you're just as surprised as I am that I'm standing here before you in St. Eugene's Cathedral today. But I stand here with humility and also with a great deal of hope. It's an immense honour for me to have been nominated by His Holiness Pope Leo XIV to serve as the Bishop of Derry. And I thank the Holy Father sincerely for the trust that he has placed in me, a trust that I receive with a deep awareness of my own limitations and weakness. When I heard the news of my nomination, I found myself returning to the words, as Bishop Donal has said, that guided me through the past 7 years of my Episcopal ministry. In manus tuus domine, into your hands, O Lord. And my Episcopal motto captures the belief that it is God who is in control ultimately. It is a belief that has sustained me through many unexpected turns in my ministry, and it sustains me again today as I begin my journey here in this great diocese. Now, the reputation of Derry resonates across Ireland and the world as a vibrant place of culture and historical heritage that is famous for peace-building, for ecumenism, for music, for drama, for poetry. And as a keen sports enthusiast, as Bishop Donal alluded to, I look forward to living in a diocese that is the home of such an iconic football club as Derry City. And, of course, it also is the hotbed of GAA and other sports across three counties, Derry, Donegal and Tyrone. Now, as a lifelong Bristol City fan, I don't think I'm going to provide any challenge whatsoever to the people of Derry City. But being a Cavan GAA supporter could engender some debate during the height of the GAA football season. Now, the Diocese of Derry is a church that is shaped by the faith of generations since the time of St. Patrick, St. Eugene, St. Columbkill, nourished by the witness of so many people, sustained through times of persecution and hardship, and strengthened by communities whose love of Christ has endured despite every challenge. It is a privilege beyond words to be called to serve the priests, religious and lay faithful of this diocese. I hope and I pray today that I am granted the strength and the health and the wisdom to live up to this calling. Now, I first want to acknowledge with gratitude my soon-to-be predecessor, Bishop Donal McKeown. Throughout his years of ministry here, he has led this diocese with great courage and generosity. And I know that he is greatly loved by all of you priests and people and religious of this diocese. And he has guided the Diocese of Derry through a period of significant social, cultural and ecclesial change. And I thank him sincerely for his faithful service, and I assure him of my prayers and continued support as he enters a new chapter in his own life. I also this morning wish to express my profound gratitude to Archbishop Eamon Martin, who is, of course, as you know, a very proud Derryman himself. During the past 7 years, it has been a privilege to serve alongside him in the Archdiocese of Armagh. His encouragement and pastoral wisdom have helped me enormously in that time. I have learned much from his deep faith, from his calm leadership, and his unwavering commitment to the mission of the Church. And for this, I sincerely thank him today. I also thank the priests and the people of the Archdiocese of Armagh, and particularly the staff in Araceli, and also with the pastoral team with whom I worked very closely over the past 7 years. They made me feel so at home in the diocese, and the warmth of their friendship and the depth of their faith made me feel very, very welcome indeed. Now, as some of you know, I was born and raised in Virginia in County Cavan in the parish of Lurgan. And it is the boast, I suppose, that it's the most southerly parish in the whole of Ulster. So I'm as far away from that now as I possibly can get. It's a long way from Malinhead to here, and to Virginia, where I come from. My parents, Tony and Nora, my sisters, Breda and Martina, the priests and the religious and teachers who shaped my early years, gave me an appreciation of the goodness that exists in ordinary parish life. Looking back now, I realize how profoundly those early experiences formed my vocation. During almost 4 decades of priesthood, I've been privileged to serve in schools, in parishes, in diocesan pastoral ministry, and in episcopal leadership. Now, everywhere I have served, in the Diocese of Kilmore for nearly 30 years, the Archdiocese of Dublin, where I served in a parish in Drimna for a year, and, of course, the last 7 years in the Archdiocese of Armagh, I have encountered people of remarkable faith and generosity. Those experiences have taught me that while systems and structures are very important, the true strength of the Church has always been found in the faith of the people. And thankfully, that faith remains still very much alive today. Yet we must also be very honest about the challenges and the difficulties that lie before us. The Church in Ireland finds herself in a very different position from that which it held even a generation ago. We no longer occupy the centre of public life. Many people, particularly younger generations, no longer identify naturally with the institutional church. The wounds caused by abuse and the failures of leadership continue to cause severe pain and upset for many, and we must never cease to ask for forgiveness, to listen with humility, and to work patiently towards healing and reconciliation. Now, alongside those realities, we face declining numbers of clergy, changing parish structures, and the onerous task of passing on the faith in an increasingly secular culture. And these realities simply cannot be ignored, nor can they be solved by nostalgia for a past that won't return. Now, managing change is perhaps one of the great responsibilities that is entrusted to those in church leadership today. But change is not simply about reorganising parishes. It is about conversion. It's about asking ourselves what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church at this moment in its history. For this reason, I believe that synodality is not simply just another programme or just a way of administration. It is the way in which the Holy Spirit is inviting the Church to renew itself in our times and to grow into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. When Pope Leo XIV first greeted the world from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica, he reminded us that we want to be a synodal church. Those simple words express something that is profoundly important. Synodality is not primarily about meetings or committees. It is about learning once again to walk, pray, listen, and discern together. As your bishop, I will minister among you not as someone who has all the answers, but with a willingness to listen, especially to those who become distant from the church, those who feel hurt or disappointed, and those who continue to search for meaning. Our task is to find common ground and a way to walk together with confidence in the power of Jesus Christ working through each one of us. If the church is truly to renew itself and become more effective, then she must deepen the bonds of communion, encourage greater participation in its life, and recommit herself to its mission of saving souls by bringing people into a deeper, more authentic relationship with Jesus Christ.